Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai. So we are reading today Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 47, the Song of the Bee. And we are covering five verses from 47 to 52. Okay, and so we sing together the Sanskrit for 47 up to 51, and then we do 52 responsibly because it's so we read it together. Forty-seven is the first one. No, that's 48. Yes. Param sokyam hinai shrasyam svairini api aha pingala tarjanati namna krishne tatapi asaduratyaya. The Sanskrit first. And then. Yes. I'm sorry, giving you some more work. Ka utsaheta santyaktum uttama shloka samvidam anichato pi ayasya shri angam na chavate kachit sarikcha lapano desha gaho venura patine sankarsana sahayena Krishna Charanita Prabhu Puna 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 Smarayanti Nanda Gopa Sutambata Shiketam Stapadakyaya Vishmartu Naiva Sakuma Gatya Lalita Yodhara Tasalila Valokanaya Mahya jirahita dhya katam tam vishramahe. Alright, so this one here is the one that we are going to sing together. Well, let me read the English so far. So give you the what's happening. Translation of 47. Indeed, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, as even the prostitute Pingala has declared. Yet, even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna. And the purport is the story of Pingala is narrated in the 11th canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So translation of 48. Who can bear to give up intimate talks with Lord Uttama Shloka? Although he shows no interest in her, Goddess Sri never moves from her place on his chest. Text 49. Dear Uddhava Prabhu, when Krishna was here in the company of Sankarsan, he enjoyed all these rivers, hills, forests, cows, and flute sounds. Text 50. All these remind us constantly of Nanda's son. Indeed, because we see Krishna's footprints, which are marked with divine symbols, we can never forget him. Text 51. O Uddhava, how can we forget him when our hearts have been stolen away by the charming way he walks, his generous smile and playful glances, and his honey-like words? in text 52, we are going to do responsibly. So let's do the word first, just like Nagaraj does, so we all know what's being said. Hey, Natha. O Master. Hey, Rama, Natha. O Master of the Goddess of Fortune. Rajanatha. O Master of the Cowherd Village. Arti of Suffering. Nashana. O Destroyer. Magnan. Submerged. Uttara. Uplift. Govinda. O Govinda. Gokulam. Gokula. Vrijina. Of Distress. Arnavat. From this ocean. Hey Natha, hey Rama Natha, Vraja Natharti Nashana. Magnam Udhara Govinda, Gokulam Vrijinar Navat. Hey Natha, hey Ramanatha, Vrajanatharti Narshana. Magnam Udhara Govinda, Gokulam Vrijinartana. And please chant. Hey Natha, hey Ramanatha. Vraja Natharti Varshana. Magnam Udhara Govinda. Gokulam Vrijinarnavat. Hey Natha, hey Ramanatha. Vraja Natharti Nashana. Magnam Udhara Govinda. Gokulam Vrijinarnavat. Hey Natha, hey Ramanatha. Vrajanatharti Nashana. Magnam Udhara Govinda. Gokulam Vrijinarnavat. Ladies. Hey Natha, hey Ramanatha. Vrajanatharti Nashana. Magnam Udhara Govinda. Gokulam Vrijinarnavat. Jai. Translation. O Master of the Goddess of Fortune, O Master of Raja, O Destroyer of all suffering, Govinda, please lift your Gokula out of the ocean of distress in which it is drowning. Let's repeat, everybody repeat. O Master of the Goddess of Fortune. O Master of Raja, O Destroyer of all suffering, Govinda, please lift your Gokula out of the ocean of distress in which it is drowning. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti presents the following insight into the scene. Someone may propose to the gopis, why don't you just go somewhere else, leave Vrindavan, and then you won't have to see these rivers, mountains, and forests. Cover your eyes with your garments, use your intelligence to lead your mind to some other thought, and thus forget Krishna. But the gopis answered this suggestion in the previous verse by stating, we no longer possess our intelligence, for Krishna has taken it away by his supreme beauty and charm. Now, in the present verse, the feeling of the gopis becomes so strong that they disregard Uddhava and, turning toward Mathura, address Krishna himself with humble cries. They address Krishna as Vrajanath because in the past, young Krishna performed many conceivable pastimes to protect his beloved village people, such as lifting Govardhan Hill and destroying many monstrous demons. In this heart-rending verse, the gopis cry out to Krishna to remember the wonderful, sweet relationship they once enjoyed together as innocent village people. Indeed, Sri Krishna would lovingly take care of his father's cows, and the gopis appealed to him to remember these duties and return so he could resume them. Jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Jakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai. This is very high subject in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis. These five verses, they cover the gopis giving, you know, telling the story of Pingala as an argument that, yes, we should just forget about him and renounce it. And it gets to verse 52, to this very intense feeling. So the gopis, by knowing the Pingala story, they show that they were versed in the Bhagavatam stories. So their guru, Purnamasi, she was, you know, teaching them all these stories by oral reception. And so they were versed in the what to do in certain situations. They were not ignorant little country people. And as the narration of these the verses, it intensifies because Krishna is I'm going to talk about three things mainly today. I would like to focus on Krishna's lotus feet, and because it mentions about Krishna's lotus feet, and then his personal charisma, and then the emotions of the gopis when they get on the edge. And in the Pingala story, what Pingala, she is a prostitute, and she was readying herself to go to work, and she got all decked up, but nobody showed up, and she became very frustrated. And out of that frustration, she came deep into the realization that she should just give up the enjoyment of money and sex pleasure for her sense gratification. She should concentrate on the Lord's heart and serve him instead and give him pleasure. So that was Pingala. She completely renounced, this is a story from the 11th canto when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, and the story of the and Krishna is telling Uddhava of the story of the Avadhuta Brahmana telling of the nine different gurus that he found in nature. And so Pingala is the last example of this Avadhuta Brahmana to Maharaj Yadu. And so the Bhagavatam, it's very clear that how she realized. I brought the two Bhagavatam verses, the last two verses of this conversation, because it's so well said. Okay. So this goes like this. Is Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, 8th chapter, 40, chapter of verse 43, the story of Pingala. So the Avadhuta said, thus her mind completely made up, Pingala cut off all her sinful desires to enjoy sex pleasures with lovers, and she became situated in perfect peace. Then she sat down on her bed. So this is it's the end of the story. So that's how she became so, so peaceful, by desiring to just not desiring enjoyment in the material world. And some years ago, this, you know, it happens to me, you know, I was, you know, realizing this this idea of, you know, my desires are in the way of my happiness. And so I can really relate to this, you know, this idea of trying to enjoy the world and being frustrated. And and it's so much more of a sattvic, pleasant, happy life when you just put your desires aside and use Bhagavad Gita as your intelligence and use your guru's desires as your guide in life, as your desires in life to please him, and making that the most important thing in life. And so that's so the gopis here, they knew to be a problem for them to renounce their behavior, although they knew this in truth. They had been instructed by their guru. They just could not give up, you know, loving and wanting to enjoy with Krishna. It was beyond them. They could not help it. So these verses, they go, you know, the Krishna, the 47, okay, so renounce the desires. But and then they start alluding to Krishna's charming nature. And they were saying that the gopis in verse 48, that, you know, how can you give up the intimate talks with Lord Uttama Shloka? You know, even the God, this was like a lawyer talking, you know, a lawyer argument, to say, hey, even the goddess Sri, the goddess of fortune, she's right beside his chest. She does not leave his chest, but he has no interest in her. Now, I can imagine, you know, a woman being by, you know, her master, and he has no interest in her, but she stays there. Why? Because it's so sweet. You know, his, you know, she just stays there on by his chest. And so that's, you know, the gopis' arguments, you know, say, hey, we are not alone here. We just cannot give up Krishna. Not even the goddess Lakshmi can give up Krishna. And so they kind of know that Krishna is the Supreme Person. But, you know, that is just kind of a chapter in the whole story, because they don't really take that so much under consideration. They just love him. So it's all about emotion, and it's all about feeling. And so, and then they start speaking to Uddhava directly. They address Uddhava and tell him that, you know, when, so they start zooming in on the Vraja life. So they start saying, okay, Pingala, and then, you know, even Goddess Sri, so they gave their arguments. So now, the next verse, they start zooming in the Vraja pastimes. And as they think about, you know, the forest, the rivers, where Krishna was playing with them, and Krishna had so many pastimes in Vraja, and his lotus feet are everywhere, the print, his lotus footprints. And so who knows how many footprints, how many markings are in Krishna's feet. Well, there are 19 markings. So we're going to go over the markings in Krishna's lotus feet. Some time ago, there was a very nice presentation on that. So there in his in Krishna's right foot. Anybody? Which marking on Krishna's right foot? So there are 11 auspicious markings on Krishna's right foot. The lotus. I wish I had my pen so I can check the ones that you said. Okay, the lotus. The umbrella. Flower. Huh? Flag. Yes. The elephant gold. The rope. Let me see. So there, the disc, yes. And is that grain right under his toe? The barley corn. And it is the upcurving line, it was said. There's more. Lord Indra has the thunderbolt. And there's a shape. Eighth side, the octagon is there. And the Hitler, but the other way. The swastikas. And there's a fruit that is... Huh? No. It's the same as our planet, Jambudweep. It's blackberry fruit. So there is some... This is the right foot. So the barley corn, it's right under Krishna's toe. It means opulence, and devotees that meditate on that, they have a short journey back to Godhead. Just meditating on the barley corn under Krishna's toe. And then there's a disc. The disc, it's right under it. The disc cuts lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride and envy, and it's eternal time. Just make eternal time, so you can go on to eternal time. And the umbrella protects the devotees. The upcurving line, so it's those that hold on to this upcurving line. They are transported to the spiritual world very easily by just meditating on that. And the lotus flower is a symbol of Lakshmi. And it's fortune and success. The unfurled flag, it's security and protection from fear. The elephant goad, it brings the devotees' minds under control. And the thunderbolt smashes karmic reactions. The octagon, those who worship his feet are well protected in the eight directions. And the four swastikas. So nothing inauspicious can come to the devotee that meditates on those. And the blackberry fruit. You know, Jambudweep is the Jambudweep. It means the island of blackberry fruit island. So that's our planet here, our area. It's a very Vedic cosmology. So only worshipable object for the residents of this Jambudweep. So that's Krishna's right foot. So 11 there. Now we have Krishna's left foot. In his left foot, We have 8 auspicious markings. Anybody? The fish? No staff. Water pots. There are 4 of them. Nope, that's Radharani. There is a planet, a half moon. There's another shape, 3-point shape. And there's a hoof print of a cow. And there's an unstrung bow. And concentric, somebody said circles. And the conch shell. So this is Krishna's left foot. So the conch shell, we all know, it's victory. And the concentric circles, it represents the sky. And that represents that he is within and without everything. The unstrung bowl that the devotee's minds target his lotus feet. When the devotee mind targets his lotus feet, prema condenses. The hoof print of a cow is that the ocean of miseries become small and easy to cross for one that have attachment to Lord Krishna's lotus feet. The triangle, the devotees free from the three modes and the threefold miseries. So that's what it represents, the three. We have so many three modes, threefold miseries. And the 4 water pots. The water pots, you know, is auspiciousness. So his feet, pours out honey to extinguish the burning of separation of the gopis. It's like a line in line with our verse here. So a half moon. The half moon increase the benefit for those who meditate on him. And the fish is the insignia of Cupid's flag. So by having, and then the fish is right on his heel, Krishna has conquered Cupid, just smashing him, I guess. Conquered Cupid. So this is and the gopis, they see those markings. And Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti, he mentions the fish and the flag, I think. The flag and the fish. So it's like security and protection from fear and Cupid, the symbol of Cupid. So this is going on, this conversation, and Uddhava, you know, is witnessing all this. And so the gopis, after they say that, they are just totally madly in love with Krishna. And so they address Uddhava personally. So that's verse 49. They go, you know, my dear Uddhava, when Krishna was here in the company of Sankarsana, he enjoyed all these rivers. So this is when, you know, they start zero in. They start focusing in, oh, Krishna, Dharmuna. And then they go on to speak about the lotus feet, the divine symbols. They are everywhere in Vraja. And then verse 51, Krishna start, the gopis start focusing on Krishna's form. So they're zooming in from Vraja to his body, and his body is so charming, and they are remembering, you know, the way he walks and the way he smiles at them, and how his playful glances pacify their heart. So they have all these emotions going on. And Krishna, not only that, you know, he's very charming, and he walks and smiles and looks at them so captivatingly. And he's like the personification of Prince Charming. But he's like the perfect lover and the perfect combination. You know, this is a perfect combination for a perfect lover. He is so attractive. And the yearning, this is creating by zero in, by focusing on Krishna's body and his way that he presents himself and he relates to them. They are yearning more and more. So it's creating this very intense yearning for his company that is just simply beyond their control. So this is how the verses are little by little intensifying. And so this is how they say that, oh, Uddhava, you know, how can we forget? You know, we have this Prince Charming. He's like the perfect lover. And not only that, he not only looks good, everything he says is like honey-like. So he pleases them not only by his looks, but by his words, by his deeds. He's just a very caring and very sweet. You know, Krishna is the perfect companion. And so they're experiencing this. And as young girls, they are just so fascinated. You know, I was a young girl myself once in this lifetime. And I remember, you know, as a 14-year-old or a younger, like 12, 11, 10, 11, 12, if I had somebody that was charming, and you know, I was 24 hours thinking about that. We just write in journals and get pictures, and it was a whole, you know, festival of remembrance. And so the gopis have all this going on, and they have all their friends. So and so here they're showing this part. But it got so intense that they forgot about Uddhava. This is Lord Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti mentioned that they are in the purport here, that they forgot about Uddhava. They turned towards Mathura and they spoke directly to Krishna. And that's the verse that we sang today. Hey Natha, hey Ramanatha. So they are addressing Krishna, hey, Lord of Vrindavan, oh Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, and oh Master of the Cowherd Village, so destroyer of the suffering, please destroy the suffering of us, you know, the Cowherd people. But actually, the gopis, Srila Vishwanatha mentions that that the gopis were not thinking about themselves when they are saying this. They're thinking about the Cowherd people, because they see Mother Yashoda suffering. They see all the elder, you know, the villagers suffering so much. So when they say this, they're thinking about them instead of thinking about themselves. And that shows me, you know, how high the gopis, because they are they're so humble and so concerned about others, that's the mood of, that's love. That's when you perceive love. I wanted to read from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's just the 52nd purport. You know, the devotees have mentioned some, but you know, the translation here is very sweet. So this verse, O Master of the Goddess of Fortune, O Master of Raja, O Destroyer of all suffering, Govinda, please lift your Gokula out of the ocean of distress in which it is drowning. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti's from his book. In this verse, the gopis' feelings become so strong that they disregard Uddhava and, turning toward Mathura, call out to Krishna in pitiful voices. Oh Krishna, in this text, the first phrase is, Hey Nata, Hey Ramanata. You attract our minds, even though we are unworthy. So they think of themselves unworthy of his love, and they love him anyways. And they're there in Vrindavan, completely destitute, just ready to just give up their lives. And they only don't give up their lives because they think that will displease Krishna. If he comes back and finds them dead, what's going to happen? He's not going to be pleased. So that's their motive for not, even though we are unworthy. O Lord of Lakshmi, Ramanatha, we also need to be mastered. O great reservoir of amazing sweetness and tasteful loving reciprocations, which are begged for even by Lakshmi. O Master of Raja, Vrata needs your shelter. O remover of suffering, Arti Nashana, in the past you performed many inconceivable pastimes to protect us, such as lifting Govardhan Hill to free us from the distress caused by Indra. Now, however, we are in an ocean of the most intense suffering caused by separation from you. Please come of your own accord and save Gokula, which will be destroyed either today or tomorrow. O Govinda, come resume your duties of protecting the cows and supervising their grazing. Enough with the sending of messengers. And in the Gopalachampu, Srila Jiva Goswami, Gopalachampu takes place in a Goloka Vrindavan. And those two, Shiknikanta and Madhukanta, they are presenting the story. They are relating the stories of Gokula to Radha and Krishna sitting in the assembly. So it's very interesting. And he says that because Krishna, Uddhava brought the letter, and Uddhava was reading the letter to the gopis, and they were pondering in each kind of a section, they were pondering and to try to understand what does Krishna wants to say. And so the gist of that is that what Krishna wanted to say was that their meditation on him, it was just like having him there. So they brought in that spurti, that presence of Krishna in the heart, very vivid, and that remembrance of him without so much desperation of the suffering of separation. So that was the gist of the letter that Krishna sent to the gopis. So in conclusion, these verses, these five verses that we read today, they are in a crescendo, just like a symphony. It's creating intensity, and this last verse that we all sing today is the heightened version of, emotion for Krishna. So we covered that, and we got to experience the gopis' emotions getting over the edge when they just turn on to Mathura and address Krishna personally. It's like the climax of their intense emotions towards Krishna, and the spurti that come from that remembrance, that they can be pacified. It says that they were half pacified. At least they were not totally going crazy. And so this is what I had to talk about the verses today. There's so many things to talk about, you know, in these verses that just retelling them, I think it warms my heart. I hope it warms your heart too. Well, are there any questions or comments? Do we have a microphone? It's not working. I'll repeat the question. Yes. Yes, you can. If we meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, does that mean that we will meditate in each symbol? Is that what your question? Yes. And you can, you know, chant and meditate on each symbol. And that will satisfy your heart. Yes, Prabhu.
So we've read here. We've had many speakers that try to say that the gopis were not feeling this kind of suffering and lamentation and so forth. But Bhagavatam is telling us about it. So I'm thinking that it's four stages of vipralamba, separation. One is the bliss before meeting, one derives, oh, when I get him, I hug him and so forth, that's one. And then the bliss after meeting, that's, oh, that hug was nice, that kiss was nice, like that. And then the anxiety before meeting, oh, what would he do, would he accept me and so forth. And the anxiety after meeting, would I see him again and so forth, you see. So these four stages have to be taken in Vipralamba. And so in this stage now, we're getting the stage of anxiety after meeting. You know, it's painful, it's this, and so forth. See? So when we take into consideration these four aspects of Lamba, we get what you call like a holistic, a complete understanding of separate.
Mm-hmm. But how would you categorize Radharani when she's right beside Krishna and she just goes into this complete anxiety that where is Krishna? Well, she just in so much anxiety, you know, and he's right beside her.
That's very high.
Radharani is the only one.
Mahabha.
Yes, Prabhu.
When you mentioned how it's not for themselves, it's for the residents of to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada, in this same mood, brought the Rath Yatra festivals. Mm-hmm. That, you know, the Yatra Sukriti, he said, yeah, they may make some offense, but the benefit is eternal. How that we can see the same thinking. Mm-hmm. Rath Yatra is such a wonderful thing, and no one's ever brought it to the whole world before.
Right.
One place, and then Jagannath, and there's a lot of knots in this. So why not to the universe? Not.
Jai. Lord Jagannath ki jai. Saturday Rath Yatra ki jai.
You just asked, what do you call it when Radharani is in anxiety and Krishna's right next to her? There's a famous kund in the Braj area where the pastime was that Radha and Krishna were there and there was a bee flying around them. And then someone, one of the gopis, chased the bee away and they said, Madhusudan is gone. And Radharani said, Madhusudan is gone. And he's standing right next to her. And she starts to cry and cry, and her tears form this. And then Krishna also started to cry, so their tears together form this lake. And what it's called technically, I mean, in English, I guess, is anticipation of separation.
Thank you. Yeah, because Madhu also means bee, and it's also a name for Krishna. It's a Hari Parayana, right?
Why does Krishna need Lakshmi? Why does Krishna neglect Lakshmi? That's what the verse is saying.
It's their rasa. He's the Supreme Lord. He's just, you know, there. And I always see, you know, Lord Vishnu just lying on Sheshnaga and Lakshmi's there to serve. It's a different rasa. And she's there to serve and he's the master. So it's not that he's interested in her, you know, in enjoying with her. He's just very, gets mode of goodness. It's Lord Vishnu is the mode of goodness deity. So the emblem of mode of goodness is that rasa of just total peacefulness and self-satisfaction. Good? One more, Madhumati G.
How does he really neglect her? Because he keeps her on his chest. So, what does neglect mean here? Because he keeps her right next to her chest.
Yeah, but according to the Bhagavatam, you know, they're saying that, you know, he ignores her. She's there, but he's not, you know, involved in talking to her and looking and those playful glances and the charming smiles. He's not playing Prince Charming to her. And so he's just there. But she's there because he's just, you know, the best place to be. Yeah. That's how she just couldn't get into Vrindavan, into the residence. She just couldn't give up that closeness to him, that total. She has her space, she has her place in his life, and she just couldn't give up that being his servant, his dear wife, I guess. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.